It is Sunday, September 12th, our first two-show day of the complete world of sports abridged. And to top off the festivities and the fun, the second show of today's doubleheader is our official opening night here at Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell. Gentlemen, how are you feeling?
Nauseous?
Sweaty palms, queasy tummy.
But we're ready to go, right?
Sure.
It only shows that we care.
I don't know. I got a bad feeling about this.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 197, Sports Opening Night.
Wow, halftime at opening night of Complete Sports Abridged here at Merrimack Repertory Theater. Sort of a sadly typical opening night audience, isn't it?
Well, opening night crowds are typically a little quiet, some VIPs, a lot of people who are obligated to be here. And the
like
press.
The critics.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they're not here to laugh. They're here, I mean, maybe they are, but mostly they're to write about it.
I think I saw the Lowell Sun critic Nancy Tuttle smiling.
Good,
that's
good.
That's good.
That's a good sign.
Well, and then the other half of the audience, I think, might be people who have been papered, as they say in the industry.
Yeah.
So there's that half who are absolutely loving it because, let's face it, they didn't have to pay for it.
Emily McMullen, our stage manager, how do you think it's going on the opening night
performance?
I think it's going very well this opening night.
Do you?
Yes.
Well, that's good. That's good. You've been a stage manager here at MRT for years and years and years and years. So how does this compare with other opening night audiences?
Oh, I would say it's a much fuller audience than we've had sometimes in the past for opening night. Wow. Because the paper is actually showing up.
Right, good.
Which we always like to see on opening nights. Gives that extra boost of energy to get us through Act 2.
That's good.
Well, Matt Rippey and I both had evidence, a little bit of evidence of nerves.
Yeah.
But
Tongue fumbles.
You seem fine.
Tongue fumbles? Well, except for the latecomer who totally threw me.
Right.
I mean, when he said, I'm a plant, I went, oh, you're a plant? I hate doing this bit for plants.
Yeah.
Now the
yeah.
whole audience thinks that totally threw me for a while.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that kind of threw me is that this audience, for the first time, got the democracy joke.
They
right.
did.
So we couldn't go off on them for being, you know, dumb. How dare they be a smart audience?
They're too smart for us.
I know.
All right, gentlemen, what are your predictions for the second half?
Well, I predict we'll see special reports from the towns of Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Human Growth Hormone, Virginia. Austin?
Well, given our age and physical condition, we were remarkably injury-free during that first half, weren't we? But I expect we'll see a violent death or dismemberment before the night is over. Reed?
I predict we'll see a movie version of the life of Dodger manager Joe Torre, who converts to Judaism, marries actress Tori Spelling, and honeymoons at Pearl Harbor. It'll be called Tora, 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 Tori, Tori.
All right, so what did we learn on the opening night here at Lowell?
Let's see. We learned that, you know, sometimes you stumble, but these things happen. You got to play through it.
Got to play through the pain. You got to admire our fortitude, really.
Yeah.
We also learned, we had it proven yet again, that even the quietest audience, even the quietest opening night audience still will come up to the table afterwards and say, that was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
And they'll say, I've never laughed harder in my life. And I always want to go, really?
I always want to say, well, you really kept that to yourself. So thank you very much for telling us.
Well, I learned that my short-term memory is totally intact and my long-term memory is waning. Because the line that you just wrote, like, what, last night and handed me on a piece of paper, came out flawlessly. And yet lines that I was given 3 months ago, well, totally tongue-fumbled. So
yes. Whither Cody, Wyoming, I believe is the question.
Yeah. Cody, Wyoming apparently was suffering from substance abuse or something. Yeah. He just couldn't get his lines out.
That's spokes athlete Cody Wyoming.
Yeah, I had some nerves in the first act. And, and then kind of settled in the second act. The crowd was better in the second act, but maybe that's because we were better in the second act. I don't know.
Could well be. We were more relaxed. Well, you know, we always think they go out to the lobby at halftime and go, do you like it? I like it. I like it too. All right then.
Right.
Let's have a good time.
Yes. Clink, 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 clink. Drink. Yeah.
Every single performance we've had at the table where we sign autographs afterwards, you can see it in people's eyes.
Yeah.
That they've had a very, very good time and they want to linger and chat. And they do that for all the shows, but for a show that's brand new for them to do that, that's telling me that they are really enjoying it, that we're on to something.
Right. Well, and we did an old trick of ours that we used it last, I believe, in the Bible show, which is to end each act with a song. Mm-hmm. Now, it's the same song in this show, but we had a little harmony at the end. But when you sing at the end of an act, or you sing anywhere in a show, audiences think you're more talented.
Yes. Unless it's Matt Croak.
Unless it's Matt Croak, bless his heart. Not a slave to the key is our Matt. Matt Rippey, however, quite a good singer, and we actually rocked some barbershop harmonies in that fight song.
Yeah, we did. Well, and this is a personal favorite achievement of mine, because I've been tone deaf, well, not tone deaf, that's a terminal illness, but tone dumb for almost my entire life. And yet you guys were patient and persistent, and we worked it, and I think I'm hitting most of the notes in most of the right spots.
Well, you are hitting them totally, and you're actually not tone deaf, because you play the guitar, and you know when the guitar in the Shakespeare show is out of tune. But it is a tricky thing. It's training your ear to hear the same notes, but in a different register. Having to listen to our notes in human voice, not a guitar string.
Yeah, and you know what helps is that while the audience, we finished the contrapuntal, look it up. We finished the contrapuntal, and while the audience is applauding and cheering, I usually look to you guys, and we actually have a serious check-in on how I did, and so you're very kind to go, no, that was good, you hit the notes.
Yeah. It's like one finger means you missed the note on strong, the other one means you missed the note on stage, but other than that.
And then what does the middle finger mean?
Yeah, that means I tanked.
Oh, okay.
No, the middle finger means Matt's number one.
That's right.
Oh, that's
number
one.
Yeah. Now, Matt, is it true that you tried to pull a critic on stage to be an audience participant?
What the hell was going on there?
I did, but it's okay. Well, the layout here at Merrimack Rep is that many of the long-term elderly subscribers are seated up front so they can
be near the aisles.
So we have to go back and look for the people that are either A, up for running around on stage, and B, who have appropriate footwear.
Yeah.
And so I grabbed one guy and saw that just behind him, was a girl wearing Converse. And so I thought, oh, appropriate footwear, you're coming with me. And I didn't realize she had a pencil and pad on her lap and went, no, I'm working.
Yeah, but you know what? We're working too. I don't understand why that prohibits her from getting up on stage.
Well, and Alice Carter from Pittsburgh, a critic, we pulled her up on stage to be an animal on Noah's Ark. She played along. She didn't refuse to come on stage and had the graciousness to give us a rave review.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, Neener.
Did you know at the time that she was a critic? Or did
No, I don't think. No, it was accidental.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well,
but she came up. Which is, how cool was that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, can we check in with Becca, who saved me? She saved me 5, 10, 20 times in every performance.
That's right. Becca's our wardrobe person backstage.
No,
how you doing, Becca? What are you?
I'm assistant stage management.
Oh, sorry. You're assistant stage management.
Kelly's wardrobe.
And yet you are dressing us and handing us props. How's it going so far backstage from your point of view, Becca?
I guess you can't see my thumbs up, but it's super.
Super, yeah, super good.
Lots and lots of costumes and props. That's why you're confused about who does what.
That's right, because they're all the same to us.
They're
it's all stuff we need, so we don't care whether we wear it or
wearing or holding.
Yes, exactly right.
And so I want you to know that I don't mind. I'm not a control freak. I love that you control me and sometimes even push me onto stage. So thank you.
All right, well, a little too much information about Matt Rippey.
I was just going to say, wow. I guess we should be calling you Mistress Becca, according to that. So, so what's it like being backstage with the Renew Shakespeare Company as opposed to the other quote-unquote real actors that you are backstage with?
Well, being backstage with you guys is a lot more fun.
Okay.
Because you are needy, but in a not overwhelming way, in that you have a lot of things that you need, but you are less serious about it.
And hopefully slightly less stressed.
And less, well, I don't know if you guys are less stressed. Are you less stressed?
Fair enough.
Yeah, because you're busy. I mean, you're not only chucking things on us and ripping things off of us, but you're throwing things at us. And
that's fun, though.
Oh, good. Oh, I see.
I don't mind that. Although, except when I, miss the ball and don't get to throw it at Reed or,
You know what? We were talking about that. There's a moment we're talking about Irish hurling, that the ball would sometimes hit the player, and then I barf, and they say that's why it's called hurling. And, yeah, the ball got away from you, but we got the laugh anyway. So, no harm, no foul.
No, that's awesome.
Yes.
Well, and, we started recording when we left the theater, and we are now walking right up to not only where we're living, these apartments here at Merrimack Repertory Theater, but it's also the administrative offices of the theater, and it's also the rehearsal hall of the Merrimack Repertory Theater where tonight's cast party is. So in the time it's taken us to have this conversation, we're now ready to go to the cast party. Who's up for that? Woo!
Hi, I'm Charles Towers, Artistic Director of Merrimack Repertory Theater, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you see the RSC? We'll be here in Lowell, Massachusetts, performing The Complete World of Sports Abridged at Merrimack Repertory Theater for the next 3 weeks until October 3rd. Then we head down to the Maudlin Center in Richmond, Virginia for two nights, the MacArthur Theater in Princeton, New Jersey, the Flynn in Burlington, Vermont, the Blumenthal Center in Charlotte, North Carolina, Lafayette College in Easton, Pennsylvania, the Eisenman Center in Richardson, Texas, and the Pittsburgh Public Theater for a week in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Those will all be The Complete World of Sports Abridged, and at the same time, Mick Orff, Dominic Conti, and Jeff Marlowe will spend 2 weeks in Hong Kong performing The Complete History of America Abridged and The Bible, The Complete Word of God Abridged at the Hong Kong Academy for the Performing Arts. And then they'll spend 2 weeks at Jubilee Hall in Singapore performing America and Completely Hollywood Abridged. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific venue and ticket information. Emily, we talked in the dressing room, and now it's the cast party. Congratulations on a wonderful opening, and thank you so much for making the show as good as it is.
Well, thank you. It's been a joy and a pleasure and lots of fun.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. What is it really, what's it like stage managing us as opposed to stage managing a real play with real actors?
Well, a real play with real actors.
You know what I mean.
Quotes.
Yeah.
Well, we've had 3 weeks of rehearsal to develop it, yeah, and so I know where it's going, and you guys show up and go, hey, where's the? Uh-huh. And we have to go find in a trunk the we don't know that ever exists.
Thing. Well, it's brand new to us.
Exactly.
I mean, the nice thing is, it's the first time we've ever done it, but it's also the first time you've ever done it.
Well, it's true. And I do have to say, it's been a lot of fun. Because the last time I've worked with you guys, you've popped in, we've had 5 hours to tech it,
right,
and then we're up and running.
And the last time was Hollywood, right?
It was Hollywood, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so the show existed at
it
that
existed.
Point.
It existed. We had tablecloths that told us where all the props went. We didn't have to figure anything out. We just had to fix anything that broke.
So it is a little bit more you're on the ground floor of this sort of thing.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And that's been a lot of fun, and it's been great watching you guys work, because the selflessness I find amazing.
Selflessness.
Selflessness.
Yes.
Is that a real word?
Yeah, no, it is. It is.
Let me have another drink.
Drink up. How do you mean?
I'm thoroughly floored by the fact that you guys can bounce ideas off each other and nothing is personal.
Mm.
And it's a working relationship that you don't ever see. There doesn't really seem to be that many egos involved in the mix.
Right.
It's all about making the show, and the collaboration is, it's not something that you normally see. And in the traditional show where you have the director who's sitting out front and you have the script that the playwright has written, and then you have actors who are just trying to make what the playwright has written and the director wants to come alive,
yeah,
where you guys are all three sort of mixed in together,
yeah,
it's been sort of fun to watch. But it's the selflessness is really what caught me by surprise. Because even with people who work well together, there's always the, but I like that bit, but I don't.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's cool. I mean, that's great to hear. I mean, for us, the conversations get so much shorter because we can go, I like that bit, I don't like that bit. But really, it's really up to the audience. If they like the bit, then they decide. They get to decide.
Exactly.
And it's why I got into, I mean, really, the only thing I'm trained to do, actually, is be a director. I got my MFA in directing from Boston University, you know, just down the road here. But I got into directing, the way I direct is to try to create a team where everybody's on the same page. And I know that that's hard, and I know it's almost impossible, but I know that in a lot of companies, there is this kind of... It's often you're not on the same team.
Team, yeah.
You know, they're the director. There's the director. There's the playwright. They're the actors. They're the designers. You know, and often, you know, the cast will be in the green room going, can you believe what they're making us wear? You know, the chorus always knows first how the show's going to go. But with us, we're all wearing so many different hats.
Yeah.
You know, so it becomes exhausting to a certain point. But, you know, but Reed and I are the playwrights and the actors. But also Matt Rippey is not just an actor. He's our webmaster. He's directed for us before in the UK. So
yeah, it really is a great collaboration and a great group of... It's just a great energy, so it's fun.
Good.
You know, what do you want to do today? All right, great, let's go do it. You know,
well, and
we're all up for that.
And I wish, yeah. Sometimes are we unorganized or are we just spontaneous? A little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
But I would say I wouldn't say unorganized, because you know exactly what you want. You know, and give
us
a couple of hours and we'll figure it out.
Well, but you must be used to some of this because you guys do so many new East Coast premieres or even world premieres here at Merrimack Rep.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But it always seems, when it's the actors wanting to change lines, that's fine.
Yes.
When playwrights want to change lines on actors, then sometimes there's more friction. I have to memorize a new speech by tonight. Whereas Charles is, you know, if he's directing it, always says, you know, this is we're working on the script. It's only a preview. That's what we're here to do. But you can't take that kind of pressure off an actor's shoulders, because they're still out there in front of 200 people and they want to be perfect and they want to know exactly what it is. So there's a different kind of force or something going on, where if you're making your own decisions to cut the line, then it's up to you to remember to skip over.
We just may go, well, and in our case, if we make a mistake, we can go fumble.
Exactly.
And go back to the beginning of the scene.
Wait, we're going to rewind and start that over again. Very true. Whereas, yes, if you're in some deep drama and, you know, mother's about to shoot daughter, wait, hold, please.
It's harder to go
back.
It's harder to go back.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you so much. It's been nothing but a blast, Emily.
It's been wonderful. I'm glad I've had this kind of experience.
That's it for this week's Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your favorite openings via email to feedback@reduceshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our podcast page and interact with other fans at our website, reduceshakespeare.com, and our Reduce Shakespeare Company fan page at facebook.com. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reduceshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to Webmaster Matt Rippey, first soprano Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Tenacious Paul. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Charles Towers, artistic director of Merrimack Repertory Theater here in Lowell, Massachusetts, and all the designers and technicians who've made our Tech Week and opening weekend so successful. Here's to a great run. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 197/591st of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.